On this computer. Oh, wait.
Oh, see on top left.
It's recording.
Okay. So we're going to call this meeting to order. It is 17:45. Roll call. I'm here. Larry?
Larry's here.
John? Wilma?
Here.
Ricky?
Here.
And you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, first item is the Governing Board Annual Reorganization.
Yep.
So we get to nominate and elect.
I'm on for the president.
And you know what? I'm not sure that he can be.
Because he's on the other board.
Because he's the rep from Fort Sage.
Oh, okay.
I would think that would be just too much conflict, potentially.
Woman, you want to turn?
I was going to nominate myself because I'm
good. Oh, good then. She's nominating herself. Perfect.
I'll second whatever nomination is
out. Yeah. Christian.
Sweet. So now
we're closing nominations.
Okay.
And then we take
a vote. Okay. So I need to make a motion to close it?
So, yes.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to close the nomination for president.
Seconded.
Well, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
And now a vote. Vote for president.
All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nominations for vice president.
Wilma.
Okay. Anyone else? I'll make a motion
to close
nominations for vice president.
You just second the nomination. Yeah, president.
Oh.
Then I'll second.
So I made the motion to close the nominations.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry voted. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All in favor of Wilma being the vice president?
We just did that.
Did we? No.
Okay, that was still nominations.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay. All in favor of Wilma being vice president?
Aye.
Right? Okay. Clerk, treasurer of the board.
Can we nominate Johnny when he's up here?
We sure
yeah.
can.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll nominate John for the clerk, treasurer of the board.
I'll second it.
Okay. I'll make a motion to close the nominations.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor of John being our clerk and treasurer of the vote board.
Stop the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
You're rubbing off on me.
Okay, so we need an approval of the agenda. Larry, make the motion. I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda. Larry?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public comment.
Any comments?
Carry out?
I don't know.
Do we have comments from any of the sites?
No.
All righty then. So we'll go to reports. Anybody on the board have a report? I got nothing. Okay.
So my turn.
Sherry's turn.
Okay. So I am going to ask that we put last goals on the future.
Okay.
I could not pull that off. And each year we've looked at it in April or May, so I thought Mariah was trying to push it, but give myself a little more time. So
I'll move that.
But I do have my report and some goals that I wanted to share with you. I was supposed to share goals with you earlier in the year. So I apologize for that. So you can see the numbers, we've taken a nice little leap forward on our enrollment. We're up to 412 at this time. We were last month at this time at 400. So that's quite a leap, as you can see it's come from both schools. We had an increase in three from Thompson Peak and an increase in Long Valley by nine.
How did you get them even out?
And they're still coming.
Excuse me?
How did you get them even out?
Isn't that nice?
What's causing the driving increase? Midterms? Or?
What's driving the increase?
Yeah. All right. Anything you want to add? Because, Jared, I didn't look specifically between Portola and Doyle. You had an increase?
We have had.
Jared, we can't hear you. Can you unmute Jared?
He's up in this.
Or is he frozen?
No, he's gone.
There I went.
Oh,
hi, Jared.
Well, no,
we've got that one.
You can see. Okay. Okay, so go. Wait, Misty, you've had an influx.
We've had quite an influx. A lot of high school IS, and then actually we've had a few site-based middle school, and they're kind of trickling in. We've kind of had it all the way around.
Jared, are you able, you've had a little bump in numbers.
We have. We're almost at our cap right now.
And do you have any idea of the reason? Is it just that mid-year people are getting report cards plunking anyway, so they might as well make the switch?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm just questioning. So if he's had some, we've had probably nine on our own.
Mm-hmm. But you've also probably lost some kids. So the net effect is that.
I just say that Fort Sage, the guys have gotten a lot from Fort Sage. Just in your window, there's going to be a lot more.
Yeah, well, we're getting about max capacity in a lot of our places.
There's
too,
a lot of issues
yeah.
over there.
It's causing some of that shift.
Yeah, and this is my wife resigned from the board, and so did my family. It's just crazy to do this. So. I don't know what's happening over there. I really don't.
Okay, that's good.
But I would expect more in the near future. I don't know.
Well, I have meetings set up for some. On the calendar too. I mean, we're still in process.
Mm-hmm. Are we capped?
Very close.
And so I'll just ask Susanville, you're up three. You probably lost a couple that went left for the semester and probably gained one in that.
Correct. We've had some withdraw to go to the high school. And actually, we've had a middle school influx. So I think, like Jared said, we're going to get more report cards are coming out, and at the semester mark on the 17th. And I would imagine we'll have a pretty large jump in enrollment, middle school and high school.
Okay, we are. Thank you.
So numbers, USDA, we're still in that pending state. We haven't pushed it because we were going to talk about trying to perhaps buy this property. So we let it just be like kind of in that holding status. We're still in that status where the state of California can't make up its mind what we are, a new school or a continuing school. And as a result of that, funding determination, right? They told us we are a continuing school, not a new school. When you have the majority of your students, and it's actually more than 20% of your students are non-classroom based, you have to go through this fancy footwork of getting a non-classroom based funding determination based on how much you're spending on students and the education program, then determines, you also have to have less than 25-1 ADA overall, and what else? 40% has to be, at least 40% has to be spent on teachers, and then 80% has to be spent on the program. So all those factors they look at, and then they say how many years you get your determination for. Can it be anywhere from a year to 5 years? And they also can actually cut your revenue. So instead of 100% revenue, some schools can be reduced down all the way to 50% of their revenue. Both schools got funding determinations of 100% for a couple of years last year. Well, apparently that's not okay, we're being treated as a new school here. So we actually would have needed to submit a whole new form and application December 1st. It was about December 3rd, we realized, oh my gosh, seriously? Because they're like, you didn't turn it in, what are you all doing there? Like, we need to turn one in? Okay, so now it's a very complicated process. It'll happen, but I listed the steps for you. First, the authorizer has to hold a hearing. They had it announced it 10 days ahead of their board meeting. And we talked to them all. They did that for us. And then the authorizer at their next board meeting will have that hearing and then take a vote on whether or not it's okay for us to have a waiver to file this paper late. I see no reason why the boards wouldn't approve that. Several years ago, the state said charters can't apply for their own waivers themselves. That school districts, their authorizers, have to do it. We can't do it on our own. So we're going through this whole process. Once that's approved, each authorizer, they have a system that they go into a computer system. They actually apply for it online. The state gets that application, puts it on their next state board meeting. It'll be on the consent agenda. They don't look very closely at those. Somebody at the CD makes sure it's appropriate, and then it goes on their agenda. So, and once they approve it, then we can actually submit it late. Meanwhile, we will be getting the 100%. We actually got payment today. I got notification that our first transfer has come through. So, yay. And I told you I've had some struggle with DMS, you know, making some errors. There's been some situations. So I did drive down there the day before winter break started and got to meet with a whole little panel of them to talk about those issues and errors. So I'm hoping that things improve. They haven't this week, but I'm hoping very soon that they improve. And then we had talked at the last meeting telling you about we were looking at somebody who could work remote with special ed students, being we lost our special ed teacher here. And Whitney, who's doing our special education up in Susanville, and she's also been the coordinator to train and work with the person who is here. She is willing to have, you know, her maximum caseload and go to all three locations throughout the week. Marcy, thankfully, went and got a temporary credential as a SPED teacher. She was a SPED teacher a very long time ago, so she's pulled that back up. And do you have like a roster of five kiddos that you're seeing, Marcy?
Six.
Okay.
And I think as far as the other degree, she's also seeing students. Love that everybody works together.
That's right. Thank you, Marcy. Okay. That was that. Let me share with you goals. You had approved an instrument that had a process for my evaluation. The first piece was I needed to set some goals. I used that document that we had. Hey, Candace, are you hearing us?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Are you?
Can you see my screen by chance?
Nope, nothing.
All right. Well, that's great.
There we go. Everybody, this is Candace. Hey, Candace.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, the lighting is a little poor here in my home office.
We'll deal with that.
All right. So which school would you like to start on?
I have all of you with a computer in front of you, but I don't have mine in front of me. That's just so they get to the finance report and tell us which page. I'm pretty sure we started with Long Valley on the board packet.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so the purpose of this financial...
Hang on a second, Candace, I'm sorry. We're, for the first time, using Chromebooks with our board packets on those.
Gotcha.
So we just scroll. It's further.
It's on page 18.
Well, it says page 16 for Long Valley, and that's what we're starting with.
Okay,
so we're on Long Valley, it sounds like.
Yeah,
so
past the one.
Okay. So the purpose of this financial update is to provide you with an update of the actuals since October 31. So it only covers a month's worth of activity since the most recently approved budget. Not sure whether or not you've noticed, but there aren't any major changes to point out in terms of the expenditures. There's just a couple of other things I wanted to highlight since the last budget. So the first being is back in October, Long Valley applied for temporary emergency relief aid, which is new this year, and it only applies because 7 students from the Paradise Fires were displaced. And so, you know, they are enrolled at Long Valley, which makes each student potentially eligible for up to 10 grand per student. So these funds weren't included in the first interim budget because we're not clear when the money will be received, if it'll come in this year or how much will even come in. So we're potentially looking at potentially about $70,000 additional, but we'll wait and see here around April or March of this year. Hopefully.
So Candace, did you see my email today from emergency services?
Yeah, I did see that. And it looks like they're still unclear whenever the funds will be released or how much will be released. Okay.
It looks like we're looking more like about $6,500 per student.
Per student? Okay, great. Great. Okay.
But again, this is one of those situations. If we're a new school, why would the students be served from the campfire be eligible for us getting funds, but they've approved us getting, okay? Right. It doesn't, you know.
And they approved us in writing.
And they did it in writing today.
Yes.
We're getting.
So the other good news is that both schools actually received their very first state aid payment today. Yeah. So Long Valley's was $918,000.
Yeah,
so that's great. and then the other thing that I wanted to touch on is it's my understanding that the board is considering purchasing a new bus for Long Valley.
Yes.
Roughly about $150,000 is what it sounds like you're considering.
We're probably in the $120,000 to $130,000 range is the buses we're probably more serious about. But
great.
Just how will that affect our bottom line? How does that get... You know, Ricky's always going to ask, are we deficit spending? And
Sure. Well, you know, I have two comments to add to that. One is, you know, in 2015, 16, and in 2018, the school purchased used vehicles for Long Valley, and the total for those three vehicles was about $118,000. So considering brand new is definitely a reasonable discussion. Now, how it's going to affect the bottom line, because it's a capital expenditure, it's not something that's going to hit your profit and loss statement. So it's something that we're actually going to expense over time, so it won't affect the bottom line. It'll just be funds pulled from the reserve account.
But does this go towards any of that funding that we have to spend so much for the students?
Unfortunately, no, it won't count.
Okay. Really?
It won't count. No, capital expenditures don't benefit the funding determination.
Okay. You know the rules. Thank you.
You bet. Those are my only comments for Long Valley.
Okay. Are we okay to go on to Thompson Peak review?
I'm good.
Okay.
Okay. In terms of Thompson Peak, the expenditures are trending super close to what we projected for budget. But again, we're only 30 days out from the most recently approved budget. And then my only other comment for Thompson Peak was that their state aid payment today received was $700,000. So it definitely is improving the cash reserve, getting us back up to a reasonable balance for the year.
Okay, well, how exciting that we were able to make it with no funding for all these months and still take care of payroll, and people really tightened down with trying to reduce spending, and we made it. Yay.
Yeah.
Everybody did a great job.
Yep. Doesn't mean we go on a spending spree.
Right.
We're going. Yes. You
got boosted.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. Any questions while we have Ms. Candace?
I'm good.
All right.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks everyone. Nice to put faces to names.
You connecting, we hear you so much better because it's coming through the TV speakers, which are much louder. So
great.
No sitting here like, oh, I can't hear what she's saying. So thank you. Thank
awesome, you bet.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye. We're moving backwards.
Yay.
To Sherry's Bowls.
I think that was fantastic.
And I had to give her a time to call in because otherwise Sherry might be there. So
yeah.
Thank you for stopping and doing this.
Of course.
Yay.
One thing worked. So the form that was approved as part of that process is this one. And setting up a couple of goals. You guys are sitting here in the dark. Everyone's sitting in the dark. They don't.
Sherry loves the dark.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'll read them out loud so you guys know what my goals are. I have lots of goals, but the goals I'm sharing with you. I have long wanted to have leadership classes where I take the things I do and know and offer them to other leaders and anyone else who is interested. I would not put a limit on people doing that. So like doing human resource investigations, you know, is a thing we end up doing. I would love everyone to learn what's involved in a human resource investigation and the process that we go through. You know, just the laws. How do you look up, where do you go to find all the laws? And have an idea whether it applies to charters or not. So those are some of the topics. I've wanted to do this for a long time. I'm ready to start, so I've made that a goal to get that launched. Goal two is supposed to be data-driven, school improvement focused. When I went to the last conference, somebody from the CDE was there who did a little tutorial on how you do a gap analysis, which is one of the documents you'll get to see today. And he had highly recommended that there was a particular book that should be read. And everyone's talking about it, right? It's a buzzword these days, improvement science. When I went to school, there was nothing called improvement science. But now there is, and I think it's important to understand that
because in the language of the LCAP, we're supposed to be trying things, analyzing their effectiveness, and then either continuing or changing if it doesn't work. And so I'd like to be a little more well-versed in that process. I think I have some math skills to help with that, but it would be nice to see when you're talking about improvement science. So I'm planning to read that book and do some analysis of our scores, which I'll bring back to you. And then my goal three, I took a CBO class, a Chief Business Officer class, and did all the projects, submitted them. It took them 9 months to review my stuff. And now they've reviewed it and said that my Excel spreadsheet of the budget, which is pretty complicated, it's got multiple spreadsheets that feed into one. They said it is not dynamic, that when they open the other ones aren't feeding in. So I need to take care of that. And so professionally, I want to finish that so I get the certificate that says done.
Awesome.
Questions that feel acceptable? Do you have anything you'd rather me do?
No, I'm excited about your leadership training.
You can come too.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. What do I want to learn?
Make sure I announce it there.
When's it going to be? How is it going to be, online or here, a weekend? Or?
I wasn't thinking a weekend, really, Ricky. I thought it would be like an after-school time, and I would do it via Zoom for any of the places where I'm not, so that anybody could participate.
Cool. There's one thing I was thinking of, and I don't know that this is the right place to put it.
Yeah.
But you know how you were explaining to us at the last meeting, now that we've changed names, and then the state just went in and kind of like broad brushed and wiped out our old name, and now everything is our current name, so that when they go back and try to do transcripts or whatever, Long Valley Charter is not going to come up anymore. So somehow we need to try and fix that, I think, and I don't know if that's something you can even do, but it just seems like it's a priority, because the longer it goes not fixed, it's just going to get worse.
You know, would you be okay if we add that as a future item? I have talked to one person after another. I asked our lawyers if they had any clues or cues.
Suggestions.
Yeah. And the one they gave me is, we now have a new charter school director that works for the CDE. She started right before winter break.
Mm-hmm.
They suggested I reach out to her and drive down there and have an appointment and try to see if I can appeal to her to understand.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the last thing they were thinking. So I put it as a future item, just so that within the next month I try to continue to pursue that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Nothing like a good timeline goal. Okay, is that the end of what I said I was going to do?
Yep. Now we're on to informational items. Mm-hmm. Item A, funding determinations.
So I'm just going to say, I've already explained to you during my report what the whole issue was with the funding determination. There's nothing for you to prove. I just wanted you to have an awareness that we're late in going through the waiver process to be able to submit it.
Okay. TK early admission.
Mm-hmm. So the state of California allows us to have 2-year kindergarten. They call it transitional kindergarten, TK, for students who turn 5 by December 1st of that year. So even if they're 4, but they turn 5 by the beginning of December, they can enroll, and we get paid for them. And you can have a kiddo who starts kindergarten, and then everyone determines they probably need a second year, so we haven't called the first year TK, but we give them that second year of kindergarten. So that's kind of what the state did. The state also said that if you want to, you could do an early admission transitional kindergarten, as long as they turn 5 by your last day of school. So we all, and I thought it was a great idea. I thought when the preschools all closed that kids had access to. We had a lot of four-year-olds floating around with maybe not getting much education or support. So I asked you to do a policy, and we put that into place. Is this our third year?
That sounds about right.
So we're in much younger four-year-olds coming our way. So they handled it just fine. This year, they have a brand new first-year teacher.
Phenomenal. Brand new.
She is incredible. But it made us, like, take a look back. Like, that's a lot to ask that one teacher to manage those age groups. And some of those TKs need a lot. Misty, you want to share a little bit about?
Well, so the kind of the struggles we've been having this year is, first of all, it limits our numbers if later on, like this year we've gotten a couple of kindergartners later on. If we would have taken all of the early TKs that wanted in, we wouldn't have been able to take the kindergartners that came a few months later. So we did decide to kind of postpone it because she was brand new. She already had like, beginning of
17, 18, somewhere around.
Yeah, and there's been some shifting, but we thought, you know, is that really fair to say, okay, and here's another group? Because if you look back in the past, you had Bonnie and Julie both at the same time for some of that.
Right.
And now you have a brand new teacher, brand new age. So we postponed it till December. Well, these parents kind of expected it's there, and they are kind of pushy sometimes in terms of, when are we getting in? When are, you know, my kid's ready, he can do this, this, and this, and they had a whole process of, you know, how do you decide if the kid is ready? And so we decided to have a visit, and we postponed that till we're just now having the visits next week. But then you still have the issue of now we have 18 kindergartners in there. I have 5 or 6 early TKs that went in, so we can only take 2, you know. And then you have to go through the process of the visit. And I can tell you, if you decide no, you're going to have some irate parents that are, you know, why? And it's just, I just feel like it's going to be a lot, especially for, it'd be a lot for me, because I, you know, a lot of them aren't ready. If you look at the numbers, even every time, almost, you know, half, where there's not a high number, but half of them weren't ready. One parent pulled out. You know, last year, 3 kids weren't ready.
And I don't think, personally, I don't think it's fair to the other kindergartners in there, because these younger TKs take so much time, because they're learning everything, like how to really sit in their chair. So you're focusing on making them behave, and it's taking away from teaching, like, the higher the kindergartners.
It's like putting 3 grades in where we normally only put 2. And it's a whole other, you know, figuring out curriculum for that teacher. They can't just use the curriculum that's in there. They've got to go figure out, okay, what are we, you know, what's been developed that they can use. Even the TK curriculum is already kind of limited. But then you add that in, and that's just one more thing the teacher has to take on. It's a lot.
I think if we had a separate TK classroom and we took in some of those early, that might be okay. But the fact that our TK kids are with our kindergartners already. And the other part that I didn't focus on, but we get paid, we don't get paid for those students until they turn 5. But they turn 5 in May. That's when, and a lot of them do.
Many of them do. We have one that's like before April.
So are we looking at not continuing this for like ever, or are we going to bring this up yearly? How are we looking at this?
I mean, this is, we're bringing it to you to share that we're having, it's just an information item to kind of fill you in.
Okay.
And see where we need to go. You know, we can put it on as an agenda item to consider. We could do it annually, looking at our circumstances. Mm-hmm. But I would think at this point, you know, they're already on board moving forward. I don't want to call those parents and say, oops, we've taken this away from you, you know.
Right.
I think we finish up this year, but I think, you know.
And is this just for the Doyle site, or is this going to affect all 3 sites?
Well, if we eliminate that board policy, or we say in the board, like we probably need to update the board policy to say it's considered annually,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we have it different for classroom-based as opposed to independent study, homeschool. And I'll ask each of the, they have no idea I was going to ask them.
Kelly and Jared, do you mind weighing in for a moment on, do you have any early admission TK kids? Any issues with that?
Yeah, issues. Would say my time in the classroom was, I would say no. They're pretty young, and if there's a noticeable difference, I would say no.
So you'd be okay if it affected your program as well, that we didn't have it available?
No, I don't think we have many TK applications. Applicants.
Any TKs?
I don't think we currently have any. No, we don't have currently this year, I don't think.
Okay. Jared, how about you?
We don't get a lot of them either, so it's not terrible if we don't.
So I think in those communities, though, there's preschool opportunities. Mm-hmm. Subsidized preschool opportunities as well as pay. We have no opportunity here, do we?
Mm-hmm. That's not a question.
Which is why this has been a thing. But some of those parents are pretty dang nasty, calling the school like every day,
yes,
saying, when am I getting in? Is there an opening? What's going on? You know, there's a sense of, I can't wait to drop my kid off for free.
So, yeah. So if I understand it right, you're going to continue this year and think about stopping it next year. How many people do you know are blind next year a lot?
Well, right now we have six.
Six,
ten?
I think, for this year. Five or six right now. We haven't let any in yet. We're just now doing it because she was brand new. And we
understand if we max out the number of seats in there, that means if somebody moves into the neighborhood next week, we have no place, we can't even enroll them.
Okay,
yeah, so we're maxing it out with these two.
Okay,
yes.
So you're gonna start it this year. You're gonna start it now for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Next year you may not have it.
Yes.
You know how many people are scheduled to be next year new?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
if you no, and if you look at the there hasn't really been that many. It's just been a handful.
They usually start signing up in May, Ricky. Mm-hmm. They'll start coming in around May. There's nobody yet.
Yeah.
But by then, we'll have a definite no, yes or no, right?
Well, that's what we'd like
yeah.
to be able to say. And I'd actually even, let's do this, but then if we say no more,
right.
then whether those kids stay or
that's
leave.
That's
right.
You want to let them know in May. Hey, guess what? You can't bring your kid tomorrow.
Right. We want to do it, obviously, sooner.
Well, that's kind of the problem we're having now, too, because all of them went in, but I only have two spots till that class is full. So, right, you know, you're already telling you have to turn people away, and we have no room for any more kindergartners.
And it's sad to say, but there are some parents who just want free kindergartners.
So how many people are like on a waiting list right now?
There's like five or six, Norma. I'm not
five
sure. I'd have to go look again.
And we only have room for two.
I can only take two. Yeah. And one of them that was on the list actually turns five. So he can get in. And that's counting, putting him in, you only have two. So
do you think you should even consider the other one?
Well, this is where there's an issue. I've already told these pushy parents. You know,
they
because
have
this is what we told them.
Evaluate.
Oh, I see.
So they're already, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was kind of like, oh, I wish, you know. But, yeah, because we had talked about it, pushed it off as much as we could, and then.
And is there a requirement to do an evaluation, or could you just do like a lottery or something?
Well, first off, Missy and I are going to have a conversation because we should be doing a lottery.
Okay.
But then that lottery gives them a place to come in and be
evaluated. Okay.
Because the law does say that you need to evaluate them.
Okay.
And then you also, we have to give the parents some educational information about the benefits and the challenges of having an early TK kind of kiddo. Yeah. So, onward. We'll bring that as an agenda item
mm-hmm.
next month, an action item.
Okay.
Put that on our future too.
Okay. I'll wait till ready for the next one.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Estimates for the roof and the bus.
So I'm just looking to see what page. On page 29, that's actually the last page of your packet. Should you care to whip through there,
we looked at some, we looked at these last month, the actual estimates or the actual, what do you call it?
Quotes?
Quotes, thank you.
Problem.
And Elle, I think, verified that these were still.
So the only thing, so for the buses that are in the $122,000 range, they are conventional buses.
Conventional.
Conventional. So what we have right now is called a diesel pusher because it has a flat nose. So you set before the front axles. For the conventional, it's you set behind. So it's like a truck and it has a nose, basically. So just so that you're aware of that, I was hoping that John would be here to kind of
add more to it.
Add more to it.
So we talked to Jody, just so you know.
Okay. So the salesmen that I've talked to in that told me for our area, the conventional buses are probably better because of the weather. But I don't drive a bus, and I'm just listening to a salesman say that. But out of these, though, they do sell the diesel pushers also, the ones that do sell the conventional buses. But do realize that the diesel pushers are very expensive. They're the ones that are in the 169 to 162 range. And then, of course, they have the availability of used buses is little to none, just so you're aware. Right now, A to Z Bus Sales does have two used 2012 buses. But do realize when a school bus becomes in the use status, it's pretty used. And it's the reason why a school district has gotten rid of it. So that's what they wanted to just be aware of. And with those used units, we would have to have additions. So none of them would have the block heaters and the oil heaters that are needed in our area for the oil.
Would the 122 range buses have those things in?
So one of the 122 buses, the A to Z bus cells, that one we would have to have added. So the Silver State International, the $120,000 one, that bus is actually being built for us. So what happens is if we decide to take that route, the representative will come down and sit down with us and go through every single thing that we want on that bus because it's being built for us. They're actually going to go, take our specs, and they're going to build it. And then they're going to deliver it.
And will the price fluctuate based on what we want?
It can actually go down. So it depends on, because they have, with the manufacturing of it, a lot of times they have more incentives. And so the price can be dropped depending on.
I don't recall. Do you think that one had the heater, block heater?
Yeah, so that one.
That's a must.
Right.
So that one with the specs, when I had reached out to get the quote, and they built it with all of that. The only thing
is that was diesel.
Yes. So, yes, that was diesel. The other one, actually, from the A to Z bus cells, is gas. And which I don't think, I wouldn't recommend that just because the longevity of a gas motor is way less than a diesel.
Everybody's nodding. So
yeah, that's pretty much kind of what Jody said, too. She prefers the flat nose, she prefers it mainly because of the power, the gas, and the diesel. And she's stating that most of the, whatever you call them, buses.
Conventional. Diesel buses are conventional buses.
Over conventional, yeah. The flat nose ones are diesel. She said most of the conventionals are gas, but it sounds like that's a diesel one, so that wouldn't be an issue. And so other than that, it's just that they have the flat nose have more power, and the diesel, they last longer.
And so in this case, I would have to disagree with her because this one is being built and it has the exact same Cummins engine that the diesel pushers are going to be.
And is this the price out the door or the warranties included and all that?
And so, yes. So with.
No, but it's diesel, right? You said that
yeah.
when you're looking at
yeah.
it's diesel. So
yeah.
that, to me, it's not really a difference then if it's just
right.
a diesel.
So with the one that from Silver State International, it has a 7-year unlimited mileage warranty. It has the standard emissions, the DEF. So we won't have to have the OEM machine that we currently have. Is it, you just put the fluid in there on the
sure that's it. I'm not even sure that thing works on the kids right now.
And they all have seat belts.
Correct. This, yeah. It has seat belts, it has the child safety system, it has PA system, it has a video. I had them put it all in there. Video. It's wired for auto chains. I didn't have actual auto chains in here. It's wired for it, so you can buy the unit and it's just a plug and go. And then, like you say, that's what we choose, and you would come
and
go over and decide.
Since you said we could pick things out, is the max the 77 seats? Because you were saying earlier that we have more kids than that.
Yeah, so that's another thing. Buses now are not paid for passenger. The max that I can find is 78.
So no matter what, we're doing another swing
mm-hmm.
of kids anyway. We're far enough over that now.
Yeah.
But if we have two buses, it could be going different directions at the same time.
It could be.
So yeah,
what
would you do with that bus?
Well, I would think you would keep it because you always have a backup
mm-hmm.
in case something happens, right? And I don't know. I'm not an expert on this, but I would love to hear John's.
Right.
You want to take kids to a sporting thing or you're going on a field trip, you've got another vehicle that you can actually transport kids.
Yeah. You don't keep it, you're not going to be able to get rid of it. And if you trade it in, you ain't going to get nothing.
Get nothing
right.
for it, right?
And it works, I mean.
And then, but based on what John said, did we have to get the seatbelts put in it?
That was me, and I wasn't sure what that deadline was by. That I know that. I was just saying it was something they were
obviously
saying.
Obviously, we would not sink a bunch more money into it.
Yeah.
But that's what I
wondered. And so I'm kind of confused with that, too. Just because the highway patrol came to do an inspection, he stated that the bus was old enough for us to be grandfathered in not to have the seatbelt because it was a 2005. And I believe, I want to say that it was 2008 or newer must be equipped with seatbelts.
So that's a good thing for us. You're saying that California says we can have two buses, one without seatbelts, and the grandfather and the new one has to have seatbelts.
Right.
And that's just
based on manufacturer.
Because you'll have half the kids travel with seatbelts and half.
Right. Yeah, we're going to pick which ones are which, right?
That's just kind of stupid. I mean just California's there.
Obviously, if we get a nice seatbelted bus, that's going to be our primary bus to transport kids. But I think it's nice to have a vehicle at this point.
And then, did we know like insurance costs for an additional bus or no, we've done that far yet, probably.
Nope.
And honestly, I'm thinking it's probably going to be less because it's equipped
multiple.
With all of those more safety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be more. I mean, honestly, I think it might be a little bit less just because it has those safety features on it.
And it might be that you say, get rid of that other line, just dump it somewhere.
I don't mean that.
So which one is the one that you guys recommend? 120,000 or
120,000?
The A to Z or the Silver Spring?
So the A to Z one for 122 is gas.
Oh, okay.
We don't want that.
We don't want it.
So the Silver State International, the one for
would be the conventional.
That's
the
one
you recommend.
And he'll come out and then they build it for you.
Yeah.
From Reno?
So Silver State International has a location in Reno, but they have locations in California also. They own, it's a Peterbilt Silver State, so they own both.
That was one of my questions. Is there going to be an emissions difference, because obviously we fly vehicles in Reno. Anyways, but it's going to be California standards. So.
Mm-hmm.
We have an action item a little bit later, but I asked Elle to please come and be able to talk. Being she did all that work with folks.
Yeah.
That's good. What's the difference, and you may have already told me and I just didn't hear it, between the A to Z 169 and the Silver State bus for 120?
The 169 is the diesel pusher.
Oh, I know.
It's a flat nose. Mm-hmm.
And it's not out yet because it's 2021. It's very new.
Yeah.
I've seen it in like 2021.
And then ones that cost would go up, right? Because we would have to add stuff to, because it doesn't have the block heater and the oil heater.
I mean, the block heater is kind of you kind of need it, but you don't. You need it, but you don't need it. I mean, you don't need it.
I beg to differ. You want to know how much of my time is that trying to start that thing every morning because it doesn't have? I'm not kidding, Rick. I have to get here.
I agree. You do need it, but the same.
It takes a long, like, I sit out there for so much time to start that thing on cold mornings.
I can't argue with you sometimes.
I've been asking even about, okay, can we put one in here? Because honestly, I'm already out here early. Just sit here for 20 minutes and go.
Kind of ether works great.
A what?
Kind of ether.
Can you get those aftermarket?
You can get a block heater put in there.
Yeah.
Well,
we
and that's why we were, you know. Are we going to buy a new bus? Or are we going to continue to book more money in this bus?
Yeah, we've already looked into that too. But if we don't want this, if we're going to get a new bus.
That's my pet peeve right
now. So you do have it on the action item.
Mm-hmm.
Can we skip to that or do we need to go on?
Guys are
flooded. How do you guys feel? Do you want to skip to it or come back to it?
Well, I think we're all agreement. I mean, I'll come in and close it down. Okay.
Yeah, we can skip ahead.
Sure.
Do it.
Then I'll make a motion that we purchase the, right, the Silver State. The 225,456.25 less.
I'll make a second to that.
Well, can I ask you to alter it a little bit and just maybe give us a price range? You know what I mean? Not to exceed 130,000 this way, if there are some additional pieces, is that acceptable?
Based on what was the account's name that we just had to?
Candace.
What she said, there's no, I thought you were a little bit surprised about that.
I thought there was.
We still have funds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, then I'll back up. I'll make a motion that we approve, I guess, up to $130,000 on a school bus. But if it comes to $131,000, then we've got to come revisit this.
You know what? I want to.
Okay.
If they gave us $120,000 with everything that Nell asked for, I want a little play.
Right.
But I don't want that much play.
Okay.
There's that much play. You know what? I'd like to be able to say, no, I can't do that. Do better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to take that back to my board.
That's
right.
Well,
then
it makes sense.
I will second the motion to for the approval of the purchase of a bus up to $130,000. All in favor?
Aye.
And I also had in here to talk about the roof. And obviously, we're going to be talking about the potential purchase of this. So we've gotten still just one estimate for the roof. Can't even get people to come out and give us an estimate.
Why is that? Like, why is that out?
I don't know. I've called several. It's not the first time I've called too, so I gave it another shot. Because I called several months ago to have three places to come do an estimate on the roof. One showed up, gave an estimate. One said that they were coming and never showed up, and then I can never get a hold of them again. And so the same thing this time when I retried it, and I even tried D&D Roofing from Nevada, but they are so busy, like we're peons to them. So that's the problem.
Is it like location, you think? Like people just don't want to come out here so they don't bother with us?
So at this point, when we've had weeks, we do have a company. What company is it that's coming out?
More Roofing.
And he's the one that did the estimate for.
Correct. So he has been really good to come out here, and because it's a pretty big mess. So he needs to reseal the whole thing because it's so old and hasn't been. It's been patched too many years, and it just really needs a good fix. because every time he comes out here, as you can see, he fixes one area. But then this roof is flat, so anytime it's like a swimming pool, there's so much water. So when it really rains, we have Tim. I have Tim go in there and sweep it off, because if not, with the amount of leaks, we have, it would be.
We can definitely, you know, if we did buy this building, we can make that part of our, you know, financing to redo the roof. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted you to, because it's one of the things that was mentioned in our safety report to the insurance agent, right, noted the shape of the roof. I didn't want to be derelict in not, you know, bringing it and talking about it.
Well, if we, you know, talk more about purchasing the building, the gentleman that was helping us with the USDA loan out of Chico, I can't remember his name.
Nick.
Could we have some engineering done to the roof so that it drained better and we could have it redone and not have some of these problems moving forward?
Jared, do you have an opinion on that? Going from a flat roof to something engineered to have more of a slope on it?
My opinion is, how long ago was it sealed?
What? How long ago was it sealed?
Isn't it
like the entire thing?
Well, that since we, it's been a long time.
So my opinion is, if it gets resealed properly, it'll probably last a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. Without any re-engineering?
California's standard or water have a sloped roof in basically snow.
I think you have to have a snow load. It has to have a snow load. It depends on the structure. It might be grandfathered, just old. But honestly, I did walk around with Nick and him and another gentleman to really review to see what's wrong. But he didn't suggest, because we went through everything and he didn't suggest any type of reconstruction on the roof. I'm thinking it's probably more of a bigger of an issue than we think. But he just said, like, to make sure that it gets repaired properly. Because it has all the drain in place and the drains work. It's just, it's so much and it's just like lower.
So we have another contractor name that would be willing to come out to give you a bid that we could submit after the meeting for you if you're interested.
Great. I think so. Thank you.
Okay.
Who's happened? No, don't answer that. I'm okay. So, just to keep you informed of where we are and what's going on right now, the patching is still keeping us mostly dry. You know, but a leak happens, they come out, they patch.
Luckily, the leaks are happening in a room that's not used at the moment too much, but, and we can move stuff around in there.
And so another thing, like the
this one is not good.
So, you know, these tiles are no more. So we have missing ones that we need to replace. We can't find anywhere to buy the tiles to replace them. They do not replace them.
Oh, the gentleman. What was the estimate from work, do you recall?
It was like 13,000.
And that does this main structure and all of our substructures, or just the main room?
Just the main.
So, sir, was this something that we put in the estimate of saying that it's worth less because of the roof?
Yes.
So, 13,000, it would be worth 13,000 more if the roof was conventionally?
Yes.
So then, if we negotiate with Fort Sage, 13,000 comes off the price, or the price?
The price has already been raised with all that. Because that's what Nick came up with, another engineer, and reviewed everything so that he was able to provide the appraiser with what are the issues. Let me give you some estimates. because that's the routine maintenance that Fort Sage should have been doing on the building, the deferred maintenance. So yeah, we wanted that built into the price, so we were looking at what's it actually worth in its current condition. Okay. Any other questions of Elle that you want to pose?
No, but thank you for your help. You've done the look into this.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Elle, for doing it.
Okay. So we have our dashboard review.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can get this. School in there. I'm not going to see that part either. On the valley. Now that I have that up, I'm gonna, I was pulling up the website, everybody, and I'm gonna share the screen. So that they can see it too. So everyone can go to California School Dashboard, it's a public website. CASchooldashboard.org. And the dashboard was meant to be a very visual way to see how schools are stacking up. So we're looking at Susanville. Of course, this is a school that's closed. And so the scores are not attached to Thompson Peak right now because, of course, Thompson Peak didn't take all those tests and that data. Somehow I think they're still attaching it to us, and I think we have an obligation to be looking at that, because those are our kids. This is how they score it. So whatever the state does or doesn't do, I think we have a responsibility to look at it and see how we performed. So blue is the best you can get. Then it's green, and you can see this little meter here, right? So blue, green, yellow, orange, red would be bad. The state is looking at these statistics and saying if you get two or more reds or oranges, or reds, you're going to be in, they used to call it program improvement, now they're calling it differentiated assistance. Like you need someone else to step in and really help you. And that's part of my wanting to do more of the improvement science, because that's what they're all talking about is improvement science. How do you go in and help a school do better? So Susanville has blues and chronic absenteeism, so their kids are present. And that's probably not a surprise, right? Those are all homeschool kids. So we judge attendance mostly by how much work they get done. So they're getting the work done, otherwise we just say goodbye. So they have blues, but they're doing their work. We're not suspending kids out of there because, again, it's not set, they're not in a classroom setting with a bunch of behavior kind of issues that's setting them up. And if they do, we have some structures in place where students don't need to be at the school. They can work from home doing their work. Right?
Suspend them, just send them home.
Just go home. You're going to notice some things have no performance color, and that's because there's too few kids to make a judgment on. I have the statistics I'm going to show you in a little bit, but for the purpose of the dashboard, they don't post that because it might, you know, give too much information about specific kiddos, so we don't see it. But ELA and math, and remember for those tests, we test third grade through eighth grade, then we skip 2 years and don't test them, and we test them again in 11th grade. Completely ridiculous in my mind, but that's what we're looking at. The scores are determined by how far away from what the state deems as mastering the subject and what we did last year. So if we made a lot of growth, even though we're not spectacular, they give you credit for that and you get a higher color than the person next to you would get for having that same distance. They call it distance from standard. So yellow, I'm pretty happy with the yellow. Mm-hmm. But then we do have a red in math, and we're gonna look at a little more detail, but I wanted you to have this awareness of this kind of snapshot that's available to anyone to look at. When you're in these sites, you can click on one and it immediately jumps you to more detail. And you can go even deeper, like here's the math that we just clicked on. We're 109 points away. It tells you that we just maintained the category. We lost 1.3 points, so we didn't make any growth. So we stayed close to the same. You can see on the ELA it's yellow. We're 27 points below standard average overall. And we increased by 27 points. So while this might have earned us more like an orange, we ended up in yellow because we grew a lot. So that's a really positive to see that level of growth. It also, they call it their little equity report. Of course, we pretty much we don't have a lot of diversity in our schools. So student groups, we have one student group in the math, and that's white kids. And so our white kids are at the red. We're red overall. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. You would look at that if you had a lot of English language learner students or a whole other group of another ethnicity, they would show up in there, and you'd be looking at that because very often those kids end up scoring less than the overall, and you have to address why is that group of kids performing not as well, or if they're performing better, why. You can even dig in further, view more details. Let's see, can I move these little guys to their sides? So now it's going to start giving me a little more detail here. If I had all those different groups that we were talking about, we only have the white kiddos, so you can see it says white for red. No students, no students, no students, no students. And then we have a bunch of kids that, although we have a couple of them, there's not enough to give a color to. You're seeing what looks like pretty much a flat line. So from the prior year, this is how far away they are. This line is the standard, right? So we were this far away from the standard. And we pretty much stay in the same place for math. If I pull up the ELA one, you're going to see an increase on the bar. So more detail. I didn't want to dig in any further here. I just wanted you to be aware these scores are published now. You could look up absolutely any school as long as it's a new school. Not a new school. I'm going to pull up the Long Valley one. If it'll let me. Not my shiny moment. If I close you, am I still sharing? You guys seeing the Long Valley one now, okay? On your screen, Ben and Beard. Okay. So, this was kind of a shocker to see chronic absenteeism in a red here. Of course, now you're talking about more than half the population in this school is at the site. So these are kids not coming to school. And I told Misty, this is completely my fault. In the mix, I should have been on top of monitoring what our absenteeism was looking like. You know, she was teaching a class and being the acting site administrator for the second half of the year after Mrs. Bean left. And I should have been on this. And it was not on my radar at all to monitor. Chronic absenteeism is defined by the state as a student who is absent 10% or more of the days possible after 30 days. So if a kid is enrolled for 40 days,
right? They come to us this time of the year. They miss 4 days because they have the flu. They're considered chronically absent.
Even with an excuse.
Yeah,
excuse, not excuse,
no matter.
Nothing.
So can you break that down though? Because I know that they were sick and everybody was sick. And I mean, even though they might classify it as chronic, we can see that, you know what, it's just a flux because the flu went and 18 kids missed school, as opposed to kids just not coming to school.
We can do that level of digging in.
I'm just curious.
But I'm going to say, because here's the difference, and this is what Misty's talked about doing. Like, the kids who are there, and even though they had excused absences because they were sick, maybe they even brought a doctor's note, still gets counted against us here. Misty thinks, and I agree with her, if she sends a friendly letter and says, you know, state doesn't cut us a break just because you were out sick. Please do your best to get here the rest of the year. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't look at it as a snapshot like I just described it. They look at it at the end of the school year and then go backward and say, how many days was that kid enrolled in your school? So a kid who's enrolled 175 days, which is the number of days we have on our calendar for students, if they missed more than 17 days, they're considered chronically absent. That's a lot of days overall. So if we catch them here mid-year and say, hey, you're getting really close to that place, I'll come pick you up or do whatever.
Well, and the other thing I've already done is I've gone into the upper grade classrooms and we've actually talked about this.
Oh, great.
And I'm going back in, and I'm doing it as part of the LCAP and everything, and so this comes up in LCAP.
Right.
And so it was a great, so I'm actually going to go in and pull this up, and I'm doing it for the high schoolers too, even though we do still have some that don't want to get here, you know.
But
just
high
showing
school kids
it is,
don't know this is only up for 8th grade.
Oh, that's
But just for our own sanity, we could, I mean, even though it might not satisfy the state, that's a different issue. We could look and say, we got a serious problem because there's no excuse. Or you know what? I think we're okay because everybody had the flu in February and March and April, as opposed to why are we having it? We kind of know why we're, you know what I mean?
Well, right before Thanksgiving, we had that issue.
If we have a second red next year, we go into that special differentiated.
Right, exactly.
There's consequences.
And I would like, you know, how are eight in a row, that way if we have to argue with the state, hey, you know what, people were sick, what are you supposed to do, as opposed to, oh, my people are
absent. Well, and the other thing we're doing on our part is trying to really pay attention to how long kids are, like, when they're absent, because we have a policy now with, like, 5 days, so we send the work home. So we're trying to really catch the parents, like, even if, you know, they're gone for 2 days, and then we know they're going to be gone for 3 more, saying, hey, why don't you just come and, you know, so we can give you the work and they can do it while they're at home. We're trying to push that more.
And there's still that dumb standard that says if they show up at 8 o'clock and they leave at 10, they're counted good for the day, or, you know,
there's nothing that wipes them out.
So they can literally show up in the morning and leave, and then they're good for the whole day.
At least for counting attendance, yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, we could look at that and say, you know what, if you're not, then stay 5 minutes and then go home.
You know, we have to be careful too, because we tend to want to say, well, if you're sick, stay home.
Right.
You know, and then I'm in here going, you guys, unless you're dying, crawl in the door.
It could be a good argument to the state, though. It's like, hey, on this hand, we preached to kids to stay home if they're sick, and now you're digging us because we have.
But I'm gonna say that it requires attention. Last year, we did not give it the attention, and we got a red. I believe no matter what, even if we have all the flu kind of outbreaks, lice, right? You can't be here at school if you have active lice or even eggs. You know, we send kids home. Now, if Misty's kind of on those numbers and really trying to encourage, I think, in a very positive way, I think that positive encouragement is going to work as well to keep us out of being in red. Anyway. Suspension, we're in green, we're not in blue because we had a couple of buckaroos who needed to be suspended. The good thing about that measurement is you only get dinged, if you will, for a kid one time. So if that same kid's a behavior problem, and you send him home a couple times.
And I can tell you those suspensions, I know what they were. They were mandatory. It wasn't even something by law we could not send them home.
Right, we have to.
It was, and it was silly, but we had to do it.
This might be a dumb question, but I was just about to come and did it. Did they count suspension as absenteeism? So if he gets suspended, did they say, hey, you're
oh, absent. I'm sure it is, because you're marked absent.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, some of the kids who were those being suspended have an absenteeism issue.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, these are the things they're judging by. Those speak to student engagement. Are they involved and engaged in your school? I think we can do a better job on the chronic absenteeism. Not enough kids to give us the other measures there, ELA and math. You're looking at orange, and we're orange because we went down. So we declined 7.9 points in our language arts for Long Valley. We're at a yellow in math. We're 45 points below the standard, but we increased by 8 points. So, you know, I think those are decently positive. I can look at those numbers for now. And everyone's really aware, I think both schools, everyone has really looked at this and understand that those numbers just have to keep climbing up. They don't have to climb up some big, huge number, but if you have a gradual increase, you get to kind of stay above that red place and do better.
The more you have a mistake, the bigger, right?
Questions on that? So that was the first thing I wanted to do, was to share the dashboard so that you have awareness of this out there publicly. And then I think Marcy is going to share the California Healthy Kids survey with you.
Yes. So I know Sherry sent those to you and hope you can find them on your computer, because I'm not as talented as Sherry and can share that. I would like to just address Long Valley first. So Long Valley had an elementary of eight students were recorded. And then we did what they called secondary. And it's not that we didn't have high school, but we had too few. And so the only one that got recorded were the sixth grade. And then we also got a report from the parents and then the staff. So I'll just kind of go in that order first. So overall, Long Valley, overall, very, very positive.
Are you here?
Can you hear me?
Yes, but I need you to know that the board does not have copies of those. I might have sent them, but I'm not sure they have them.
Yeah, in the email?
These are ones that we just got today.
Oh.
So these are ones that were gotten. Actually, there's a copy printed out that Wilma did. Do you mind? Just doing that.
Let's go down
over
here.
Now six. No,
nope.
So Marcy, I'm going to hand them the staff and parent survey from Long Valley. So
okay.
I'll have it right now, if you don't mind reviewing that first.
So basically, when you look across at the parents, 25 parents responded, and they love Long Valley Charter. There's just no other way to say that. Our lowest one, as far as anything, was they said on our school safety, if you go down to the bottom, harassment or bullying. And 40% said they didn't think it was a problem, and the other half said they didn't know it really wasn't applicable to them. So even when you look at a low score, it's really not indicative of anything negative. So across the board, parents really felt like their input was welcome, that they had a voice there, that they were being actively sought out to make important decisions, that they felt very welcome. They felt the school supported our children and provided high-quality education. They felt that it was definitely a safe place for their children to learn. 100% were either agreeing, strongly agreeing, or agreeing. They felt like the school had adults who really cared about our students. And it just kind of goes on and on and on. It, every single part of that was very, very positive from parents. So that's such a nice reflection. Good job, Long Valley, you rock. And the staff pretty much kind of gave that same positive tone. They felt that the school was supportive, 47% strongly agree, and 53% agreeing. So again, a nice high percentage in our 90s with them agreeing that it was a supportive place. They felt like there was high standards for our students, that the lessons were relevant, the lessons that are being taught were very relevant, promoted academic success for all of the kids. Interesting, the students, when you see the students one, they weren't as high on the facility upkeep, but the staff felt that the facility was very, very positive and strongly agreed that it was in a good situation and clean. Staff, 61% agreeing and 32% strongly agreeing that they have a very cohesive, strong, supportive work environment, that it's a great place to work. They felt that it was that they had a lot of trust and collegiate among the staff. And the part that, you know, we always look at as teachers or administrators, just they really felt like there were materials and resources and trainings being provided for them to do the job effectively. 27% saying strongly agreed about that, and 47% agreeing. 27%, about four of the group, not really happy with what they were seeing. But overall, again, staff survey and parent survey, very, very, very positive. So I'll let you kind of look at that and see if there's anything else that jumped out. I think the only somewhat negative is that we had a few teachers that said they didn't feel like they had the resources and training to do your job effectively. They don't specify exactly what that is, so that could be something that Misty and Jared could follow back up on and say, okay, what do you think that we're missing?
Well, I'm going to add that's not just teachers, right?
The staff survey is paras and your para educators and your teachers, yes.
It's staff, it's everybody.
Yes.
Time, yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry, it is. Absolutely.
Okay.
Mr. Tim. No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that.
Everyone has the other results.
Okay. I can't quite hear you too well, sorry. So if you're not hearing me, yell at me. Our elementary report, 18 students. Those are our elementary grades. I think we just did fourth and fifth. Misty, if I'm correct, yell at me if I'm not. And the ones that I highlighted, again, very positive as far as feeling engaged and supported in the school, high academic motivation, high expectations that the students are feeling, that the teachers have high expectations for them. So meaningful participation, it was like 49% said yes most of the time, and so I added
Okay. I changed your heading from elementary to fifth grade because those were fifth grade students that are in that.
Okay.
Now understand, the kids take this exam, right? This test, the survey. Parents can opt out for their kids to participate, or we need to get permission. We don't cancel them, they're on the computer.
So I'm having a really hard time hearing you. I apologize. I didn't know what you asked.
Can you make it louder?
It got so quiet.
You got really quiet for some reason. Yeah.
Not sure why. I'm loud here. They know I'm loud.
Sorry.
What number?
So, 18 students took the test. Is that what you're asking me?
Nope.
No.
What's
the minimum of students that would take the test?
To get a real Sounds like.
I have no idea. I don't know.
What is the minimum number of students you need to get a report?
10.
Understand that we have a lot of
Misty's right there.
I'm the
was found.
So even though students took it,
yes.
They have to report back. That's the first thing. The second thing is this other company that have this year after year. We have to take this test. We have to take this test. But they lose grades. 3 months from now, we're going to get another grade we didn't even know we should have gotten a report on.
Well, there we go.
So you are being reported to based on the results we got back for any group that was over 10 that we know of right now. Okay, Marcy, go. Go.
Good, I can hear you. Sorry that I rambled on there. I apologize. So yes, very, very key points. And then when I get to the secondary, you'll also understand what happened there as well. Couple things for meaningful participation that I wanted to kind of put out. So at elementary, not all the time do we let children make the decision. So one of the things that made that score go a little bit lower is that the kids said, I help decide things like class activities or rules. 30% said yes most of the time, and then 65% most of the time. So you have a really pretty a big chunk, and you know, like 90% are saying yes positively. They get to spend, they get to make decisions. And only 6% said no. So it was a little deceptive to see that, and I kind of wanted to highlight it for you. And then do the teacher or other grown-ups at the school ask you about your ideas? Again, really turns out to be about 90% are saying yes, they do get to have that kind of decision. But 47% said strongly agree, and that's what they recorded it on. But again, kids are still feeling like they're being very heard at the elementary level. We had 6 kids that we always like to push out. It always concerns us if they feel like they're sad or they're despondent. The question literally reads, have you ever felt sad? And so yeah, we had 6 that say, yes, all the time I feel sad. And that could absolutely be true. They may not get candy every day and they feel sad. So it's a little bit a goofy question. But overall, the elementary response is, again, very, very positive for Long Valley Charter. Our Long Valley Secondary, though we did have 7th and 8th graders respond, again, not enough to get that recorded. So the only ones that were recorded here are the 6th graders, and that was 15 students. And what you'll see on there is the percentage that agree or strongly agree. Our part that was a little bit low for us, again, most of these are very, very high, feeling like they are very close to the people at the school. They are happy to be a part of the school. They feel safe here. They feel like they have caring adult relationships, that there's a teacher with them that cares. You'll see all those very, very positive. My school is usually clean. 57% said they agreed. 21% disagreed or strongly disagreed, and then 21 didn't have opinion either way. So we know that the school has some repairs that we're trying to make, and some of the kids are kind of mentioning that for you. Been made fun of or insulted, 43% got recorded as yes, they felt like they were made fun of or insulted or called names 2 or more times, but a higher percent, 57% said they've never experienced that. So, yeah, so you have to kind of look at the full picture, so I kind of want to put that on there. In that 6th grade classroom, 21% said that they thought about, seriously considered committing a suicide. That is 3 students, and 3 students for us is always too many when we have kids that feel like that. So that's something that I know Misty and Jared will probably kind of look back on and say, okay, let's talk about that. If we have kids that are despondent, make sure they're seeing our counselor that we provide. So that's one, you know, we just highlighted those. Those are maybe a couple, I think, just, yeah, kids maybe are calling names, and we do have 3 kids that are not feeling really terrific about themselves. But overall, that report is extremely, extremely positive across the board. Thompson Peak, pretty close to the same thing. We had 9th, 10th, and 11th graders take it. We have not got the results for our elementary yet. They're still trying to get that in our staff and our parent survey. So when I get those, I will report those back to you. So currently, the only one we can report on are the secondary. which ended up only being our 10th and 11th graders this time because there were too few to report for 9th and 12th graders, so they did take the test or the survey. Our 10th graders, I think, were probably a little snarky this day, and so I want to give you a little bit of a background on what was happening. Our 10th graders were scheduled to take that test, and that morning I happened to be working the front desk, and we had quite a few phone calls from parents opting their kids out. So I think the 10th graders that ended up taking this were a little bit cranky about that. And that's just my personal opinion. It's not that it invalidates any statement that they're making, but I just want you to kind of keep that in mind because they were a little snarky on some items. Areas that I think were a concern, we had 42% that as far as meaningful participation, 42% said they didn't feel like they were getting to have a say in what was going on or didn't feel like we were doing interesting things at school. 29% thought that was a little true, that we got to do it. The 11th graders were a little bit happier. 70% thought, yeah, we're totally doing interesting things, with the 30% saying they thought that was pretty true. Helped to decide things like class activities, 41% felt like yes, but 41% felt like no, absolutely not in the 10th grade. And in the 11th grade, again, they were a little bit nicer. 50% thought they got to decide class activities or rules, and 20% thinking that that was pretty true, and then only 30% saying not at all. So those were a couple things that we were concerned about. I get really concerned when I see 7th or 10th or 11th graders saying that they're drinking 5 or more drinks in a row. So the other one that was a little bit high for me, though it's only 5 students, if you kind of put it, but 5 students saying that they're binge drinking, I think is a little high. So that was a concern for me. And then we had 4 students at the 10th grade level and 3 students at the 11th grade level that said they had seriously considered suicide. So those are the things that, as I give this to Kelly, I say, okay, have that conversation with some of your 10th and 11th graders that are going forward. But overall, they were pretty positive too. Again, feeling really comfortable. Across the board, you're pretty lucky. Most of the students are very happy to be at this school. A couple 10th graders weren't uberly happy, but for the most part, they're happy to be here. They feel very positive about what they're doing here and feel like that they get to have a say. So that's kind of the report. Any questions? Okay. And like I said, when I get the rest of Thompson Peaks, we don't know where it is, but when we get those, we'll report those to you as well.
Perfect. Hey. Just a little dabble into improvement science for the beginning analysis.
So I have a dumb little question.
You got a dumb little question?
I thought the Google Chrome was designed to save paper.
I'm just going to go there today.
All kinds of papers coming, I'm like.
That's because we got them late. We're not prepared. Next time, don't you worry.
I really wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot.
I was being sarcastic.
It's all right. It's all right. We're used to it. Thank you.
He wasn't here earlier.
He didn't see that. Okay. So once you get past the cover page, a couple things I want to point out. This is the Long Valley School one, right? Pretty colors now. You get to rest your eyes on some pretty. No, it's not resting your eyes. Look at the colors. So I want to take you through this. I want you to first look at chronic absenteeism row for Long Valley. I've shown you what our color was the year before, green. Our color this past spring, is red, as you saw up there. In the future now, the laws change. When you renewed your charter, you just had to show that you were doing as well or better than the schools that your kids would have gone to. So if you look across, and this is not as a means to slam anybody, but Fort Sage is in red for their chronic absenteeism. So we could say our students are doing as well or better than the school they would have gone to.
But now the state has said, that's not the judgment we're using anymore. You have to do as well or better than the state average. Yay! So the state average right now is in that orange. So we're doing worse than the state average right now.
You didn't take into the state average.
State average.
They take into consideration of the school with 6 million people are going to school.
Nope, this is just every single student that's being counted is feeding into that average. So the average rate of chronic absenteeism is 10.1%. Right now we're at 12.3%. And we used to be at 9-ish. So that huge jump put us here. Okay. So you see, I've put a check in that column that says there's a gap in our performance. Suspension rate. We were blue. We moved to green. State average is yellow, so we're good there. Not a gap. You can see what Fort Sage is rated. ELA, we're at that orange. When we get back to green, we're going to be right at the state average.
So Sherry, I have a quick question before you go too far. So back to the chronic absenteeism.
Sure.
We were in the green.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a percentage here, and it says plus 3.8.
Right. So our current rate of chronic absenteeism is 12.3%. That represents an increase by 3.8%.
Oh, that's
we
how
went
we,
up.
Okay.
We went up.
Okay.
Okay,
that's making sense.
No, I didn't. Thank you for clarifying that. You can see the same thing on the suspension. We're in the green at 0.7. We went up 0.3.
And we moved a whole color?
But green. And it moved because we increased the number of kids we suspended. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
These things amount to one
that's
thing.
That's not even a whole kid.
No, it's
that's only a foot.
That's all right. But you see, the statistics are what we have to pay attention to. So language arts, we definitely have to make some effort. We have a gap there compared to the state average. Math, we actually don't have a gap in the overall mathematics because we're doing better than the state. But look at the actual numbers. So we're 44.9 points below the standard. We've increased 8 points. But the state, who's got a worse color, is 33.5 points below. Because guess what? It didn't grow very much. We ended up having a better color because we had that growth. So that's the, for me, that's the thing. Keep growing. It doesn't have to be by huge, but just keep moving in the right direction. English learners, we get no report because we don't have enough students. And here's, we didn't get colors, but I did dig in to see the percentages. College and career readiness. We were at 50% this last year. That has a very complicated calculation, but it's taking the kids who are graduating and say, did they finish all the A through G courses to be going off to a four-year college? How many dual enrollment classes did they take at the college? Did they finish a career pathway as one of their things. The other thing it considers is what their scores were in 11th grade on the CAS test. So there's all these pieces they look at. And if they have like one from this column, two from that column, there's different ways that the state's making the judgment. We had previously been right around, I think, the 30-something percent. So we really jumped it up. But we're still not at what the state has for the average. But I'm going to say, you go into any school, they make all their courses A through G. And whether kids get a D in it or not, they've done the course.
So based on this and based on Fort Sage, how is Fort Sage 3 points higher than us? Or 4 points, actually, higher than us?
Because they have A through G classes. Every class is going to be considered an A through G class, so more of their kids are finishing that course sequence. So we can get, it's being recorded, so I don't want to say what I really want to say, but
you know, we have a lot of integrity is what I would say. And so if we have a student who's not able to work up to this level, we don't enroll them in an A through G course. We enroll them in sort of a normal course, not with that level of rigor.
So this isn't necessarily saying that they've completed it already. It's saying it's being offered. Then, is that what you're saying? Because if they're completed and ready, then they're completed and ready.
But
as opposed to saying they're not completed and ready. But you know what I'm trying to say?
The state hasn't been, and I'm happy to take another meeting and spend 5 or 10 minutes showing you the way they calculate this. Really, it feels to me like a Chinese food menu.
It is. I'm just trying to.
I'll show you more detail on that. Because this approaching or prepared business has all kinds of shades of things that are possible.
Because the way you could look at this is like, okay, Four Sages offered all these classes, but nobody's finishing. Who cares? We're offering little classes, but we're finishing them with 100% success rate. I'd rather have offered these small classes and finish than offer all the classes that they finish.
But those don't count toward this one.
Right, and they don't make any sense. Yeah.
Okay. Which is why, you remember, you helped us change some of our graduation requirements, and some of those require that you finish a pathway. That's making our numbers go up because we have more and more kids finishing pathways because now we're basically requiring that. Okay, so we took steps to try to keep improving that, and I think it will keep going up.
I think it's just screw statistics that don't need.
Yep, and how they come up with it, I have no idea. I think we've done pretty well in the graduation. Our graduation rate, you see, is 91.7. Didn't get a color because, again, we don't have enough kids, but it's above the state average and it's above our counterpart, so good. Then they make you take a look at the individual groups within, and you can see what groups we have for all of these. The reason suspension has more subgroups, that's students with disabilities and socioeconomically disadvantaged kiddos are listed there, and you see white kiddos, obviously. You get into a category of suspension, that's all K-12, so there's more kids grouped in there. When you look at chronic absenteeism, that's K-8, so we have less subgroups because it's a smaller number. Same thing with ELA and math, smaller number because you're only looking at 3rd through 8th and 11th. There's a bunch of kids not even counted there. Anyway, it's still looking, comparing what the state average is to how we performed. And there's, you know, no big surprise here except that math got picked up. Because when you look at kids in their subgroups, we performed less than the state. So I would say nobody's surprised that we got to work on language arts, math, and we got to take a look at our chronic absenteeism. But here's the statistics to back up why we need to make efforts in those places.
See, yeah, that's misleading too, because you say socially, economically
disadvantaged. Yeah.
So that means a certain people, and white isn't. Like if there's 10 people, out of that, there's 9, there's whatever that is, SD, and the white.
Two people,
not.
And one of them, yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense either.
Well, they're getting like double counted. They're
counting
each one. It is not slanted in our favor,
right.
Especially with our small numbers.
Exactly.
I got a report, and I think I told you this at one point, that we had 50% of our Native American students, you know, have some issue. We only have 2, so if one, you know, doesn't do something, then 50%, really? Yeah. 1 out of 2. Ridiculous. So now we're looking at the Thompson Peak Charter School page. Same thing, except it's a little more complicated in that far right-hand column. Because you don't have a unified school district, right? Fort Sage is unified. Their numbers we can look at for K through 12 and make it, you know, even comparison. For Thompson Peak, they have Susanville Elementary School District and then Lassen Union High. So in the right-hand column, I just split it, but Susanville at the top, Lassen at the bottom on each of these.
So again, chronic absenteeism or golden, same thing for suspension rate. You notice Thompson Peak, I pulled up Long Valley, Charter, Susanville for these columns. And because Long Valley Charter School, Susanville didn't exist that other year, there's nothing there because they would have been roped into all the numbers as Long Valley overall. Anyway, we don't have an issue until we're at the ELA column. We're below the state average. We have a green like the high school. The Susanville Elementary School is faring less well than us, but the high school is doing better. Mathematics, you know, it's definitely a gap that's been identified as a need for us. Something on the English language arts, same thing on the college and career. The state average is 61.2%, and again, I'm going to say because they don't give kids a choice, they have no choice. So they're finishing those things. I think that we're making efforts at Thompson Peak to get more and more kids to finish pathways so that we can have more and more kids showing up as being approaching or prepared. And that just is a function of a little bit of time. I would say overall, a lot of those kids are more in and out. They're coming to us very last minute because they're flunking or not going to graduate. And we haven't had the time to work with them. Subgroups don't tell us anything really different. We still need to look at the math and ELA there. And then the last page is basically a summary. It's just pulling all those things that we saw as gaps and listing them on one page. I didn't say anything about the graduation rate. That obviously you can see is performing a little bit less. And I would say what I see, and they could maybe disagree with me, I don't know if they're hearing me or not. Maybe not. but they get more kids who are desperate at the end of their rope. They come to Susanville's campus there, and then they end up dropping out. So you're getting more kids like that. And we can't say no. So they come, they drop.
Because that's their next step.
That's their next step.
This is
right.
The next step. Okay,
right.
Yeah, this one's not happening either. We're gone.
Right. And, you know, of course, having the adult ed is really nice because sometimes we can, if they're close enough to being 18, we can say, just hang on and we'll get you into adult school and we can get you there, you know. But so I think being close to 80% is not bad given the population they're working with, but we just have to make some efforts there. And so you're looking at the areas of need based on those gaps. So those have to be things that we have to design actions and services to help make improvements there. So although you know the state gives us this huge list of priorities that we're supposed to address, we can see these are some areas. And with Marcy having given you a report on the California Healthy Kids, like we should be considering that. To me, I agree. A couple kids saying they feel suicidal or perpetually sad is not good. So we previously said we're going to have a counselor available, a mental health counselor available for students, and we have that in our schools. So we need to, you know, continue that action because we have a need. Anyway, questions or thoughts like, oh my gosh, we need to do... We'll go in more depth next month, but anything jump out at you at this point? It's, you know, the state tried to come up with a system. I like that part of it at least considers growth. So as long as we keep growing slowly and have an upward trend, we're going to be okay. We just can't go down or hang out and not make that progress. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, so LCAP needs assessment. Isn't that what we just
said? That's what we just did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
To identify that.
Yep. Okay, so we're on to action items. First item is discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the school accountability report card for Longo Charter School and Thompson Peak, which we all have copies of those.
You do have copies of those?
Yes, we gave them to us.
Okay. Oh, good. Both schools?
I got it. Both.
Okay. So just school accountability report card due to the state by February 1st. It's very, the majority of the things that are on here, I did not pull. And again, you see the influence of new school, continuing school question, because there are some things that got picked up and embedded in here. Like, we don't even touch a lot of this. I'll tell you, so when you're looking at page 2, there are all those student statistics and breakdown by ethnicity. I did not populate those. Those got pulled in because these get auto-populated. I fill in page 3 about who's got credentials, how many teachers there are, that kind of thing. I put in the textbooks and that, what are we using? We put in our safety report, and this is based on the safety and facilities information that Jared provided last time. We have CASP results that, as you can see, are all listed here from the last few years. But then when you look at CASP results broken down beyond that, there's not one piece of information that didn't get pulled in.
Well, you said that they didn't put the student group with, like, after origin or whatever.
Yep.
They did. How do they come up with 20%? It's based on a number, like if there's 80 kids, there's 10 African Americans, and there's 5 white. How do they come up with 1.3%? How do they do that? Doesn't make any sense. Because there's 10 kids and 12 are African American, that's 2 kids. 20%, not 20.1. Weird.
You know, I'm going to guess that there's also, like, how many days enrolled. You can have a kid enrolled for half a year, do you know what I mean? So that could be influencing those kind of numbers.
Makes sense. I was thinking the percentage. Okay. Got it.
Anyway, these are very predictive. We pull reports from our student information system where all the teacher data is in there. We know how many teachers, what their credentials are. We know what books the teacher, the site administrators provide us with a list. So I don't think there's a lot in here that's really a discussion. If you have questions, I'm happy to entertain them, but.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
I'll second.
Thank you,
Gary.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of authorizing Sharon Morgan, Executive Director, to file all documents to request Fort Sage Unified School District and Susanville Elementary School District submit a request for filing deadline waiver to the State Board of Education on behalf of LMCS and TPC, respectively. I'll make a motion.
We talked about
that. I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. All right.
We already did C, so we need to go into closed session. Mm-hmm. And we'll go into closed session at
1939. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop recording, and I'm going to put all these guys in a separate room.
Like, that's kind of a strange way to word it.
when I met with them, I said, you should be working to get your kids back.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're taking steps.
Yeah, to have an option.
Yep.
True.
Because it's about having options.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Open up all the rooms.
Oh, I closed them.
Oh, yeah.
So, it
It doesn't look like they're sitting anywhere, and we're the only participants still here. So I'm going to guess that they all left. They had no public there. I'm okay with that. So you want to go ahead?
Yeah.
And wait up.
Can we be here?
Are you hearing us?
Yes. Is it okay?
Coming back from closed session now?
Great.
So when you report out, you're saying that there was a motion to authorize?
So in closed session, we made a motion to authorize Sherry to negotiate with Fort Sage or make an offer with Fort Sage School District for the Doyle building. All right, so future items, we have the roof estimates, the upgrades to the fire alarm system, the whole Long Valley Charter, old school, new school reporting.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was something
else. I wrote down the WASP report.
Yeah, the WASP report. We moved, pushed out. Can we expect some, like an update on the bus? Since we asked to go forward. Okay. All right. So we're going to adjourn today's meeting at 19:57.
I don't know what his schedule is.
I'm not going to be here next.
So we're going to be adjourned, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you all.
So these computers.